Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
But now, a recent study by the Health Research Board has found that people in Ireland drink, on average, the equivalent of 40 bottles of vodka a year. And some as young as 15 are drinking, on average, more than 10 litres of alcohol per year. Well, joining me now on the show about this is Anne. Anne, you're a mom. You asked your sons not to drink when they were younger. You're very welcome along to the show, Anne.
Thank you, Sinead. Good afternoon. Yes, I had four sons, thank God. I was very lucky. My eldest son, when he was 18, couldn't wait to bring him to the pub, bought him his first pint and so on, as was the custom in those days. But when it came to my youngest two, I decided I'd prefer if they didn't drink. But I gave them the choice and I asked them, I said, if you don't drink alcohol, as soon as you're old enough, you can have my car to drive. So the 17-year-old then, when he did, and my car was not a very good car, it was an old car, but I gave it to him, I got him insured, and he used to drive.
So that was the deal. If they didn't have a drink, they got to drive the car. Was that it?
They got to drive as soon as they were old enough.
And why were you so against them drinking, Anne?
Oh, I wasn't against them drinking. I wanted them to make a choice.
Okay.
Right? They played sport and they were very involved in sport. And I just thought it'd be nice for them to be able to drive themselves and to drive to school and what have you. And it made them a bit more mature, I think. And their social life wasn't affected. In fact, they were always invited out to parties and to do's because they knew that they'd be given people lifts home.
Yeah, but is
so
that...
So it worked out very well for them.
Well, it might have, but how do they feel about that? Because it's a bit kind of lousy getting an invite out just to, because you're the designated driver. I mean, did that bother them?
Well, I said, don't be used.
Okay.
And they weren't. They had the choice to go if they wanted to. And they did. But also, for young people now, especially with COVID, they've no sports, they've nothing to keep them interested. They've school, that's all they have. Mm. And if they had an incentive like being able to drive or being given a car when they're old enough, they should really teach driving in school and give the kids an incentive. Because what else have they got? They're bored, they're fed up, they meet their pals, go for a few drinks or whatever, and you can't blame them. I mean, they have it really tough. At the moment they have it tough, but they always had it tough.
Can you understand, can you understand during lockdown though why people might have ended up drinking more than they did previously?
Of course, yes, indeed. But if you're mature enough to make a proper choice, and if you know there's something at the end of it, like if you're at school, you're 14 or 15, and you're told like in 3 years' time, when you're 17, you can have a car to drive. It gives them something to look forward to plan for. Whereas otherwise, they're just thinking what you have ahead is exams and more study, and that's it. Mm. And I have to say, it's paid off immensely with my children.
Do you think
I have one guy,
go ahead.
He has the top range Tesla. A gullwing car, a self-drive car, and he's allowed me drive it on the freeway in America. He buys the top cars, as my other son does. That's what they've done. They've put their money into their cars, and they can buy whatever car they want. Yes. So it's proved right in the long run.
Do you feel that maybe we have a drinking culture in Ireland? I mean, we know we have a drinking culture, and do you think it has got out of hand? Do you think too many people rely on the booze?
I imagine they do. I mean, I know in my family there's a lot of alcoholics, and I think in nearly all Irish families there's alcoholics. So I think it's very easy, instead of having one glass, I'll just have another one. It's very easy. You know, I mean, I enjoy a drink myself.
Do you now?
But
okay.
But I'm a mature drinker insofar as if I have one, I'm happy.
But
if I want another one, I would have one, but I don't. I'm happy with one.
Okay, but maybe that just shows a strength of character in you that some people don't have, and they feel maybe inadequate or not as much fun around their friends if they don't have a bit of booze lubricating their conversation.
Well, that's true. In social settings, I am in a club and we were having a dinner one night and we were all called in to sit at the tables, and I went to sit with this group that I play sport with all the time. And they said, oh, no, you're not sitting here. You're not drinking. Go and sit at another table. Now, I was in my 50s when this happened, right?
No way.
So I do understand that. But listen, I was very upset and hurt. And then I thought, oh, to hell. And I sat with other people.
Why do you think they did that? They got you to move because you didn't have a drink.
They didn't think. Yeah, because I wasn't drinking. I would prefer to have my car and be able to drive home whenever I feel like it.
But sure, what difference would it have made to them whether you were drinking or not drinking?
Well, I wouldn't be in the round system.
Oh, I see. You wouldn't be putting in your punt, because you wouldn't. You'd be going off getting a Coca-Cola for yourself, and you wouldn't want
exactly
to buy other drink.
Well, no, I'd buy somebody. I have no problem buying people drink at all.
Yeah.
But it was just like, before I even got to sit, no, don't sit here, sit over there, you're not drinking. So it is, it's a culture, it's a cultural thing.
Okay.
And you are made to feel bad if you don't drink.
Well, let me bring in Stephanie. Stephanie's on the line as well here on Lunchtime Live. Stephanie, you're very welcome to the show here today. Now, you don't drink. Do you get asked to participate in rounds when you're
Hiya,
out?
Sinead.
Hiya.
Hi. This is such a funny conversation to me because it is always such a shock to people when I say I don't drink. Now, I'll be honest, and I did drink, so maybe from age 17 or 16 all the way to 21, I think, or 22 when I stopped drinking, because I'm now 27 and I don't drink anymore. But yeah, so when we go out on a night out or with work or with friends, it's always such a heated conversation. People just don't understand why I don't have a drink. And I just say, look, I have no interest in it. It's just a decision that I made for myself. And they're like, oh, is it because of your underlying condition? And I do have an underlying condition, but it's not because of that. It's just because I decided that I no longer had any interest in alcohol. It's expensive. You lose your inhibitions. I mean, I don't see the fun in it anymore. And I never really had fun whenever I did drink. I never had fun. You begin to lose control and like, you know, things like that. And yeah, I just gave it up. But people find it so strange.
And do you feel that you need to give them a reason when they ask? I mean, you presumably don't say to your friends, oh, you're having a drink. Why are you drinking?
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't. And like, now my friends and my family, they know, and it's not an issue to them at all. But to other people, like maybe their friends or outsiders or people that are colleagues or whatever, they're like, oh, why aren't you drinking? And I feel like I have to give a reason. I feel like I have to explain. Whereas, you know, when we're growing up as children, right, it's not until our teenage years that we start drinking. It's not actually normal. And I'm not saying this in a bad way, but I mean, it's not like you start drinking when you're 2 years old. Mm. So if you choose to continue not drinking, that should be perfectly normal. But in fact, it's treated like something abnormal, something so strange.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not having a drink, and oh, you're no crack. And whereas I'm the life of the party, and I don't need a drink.
Yeah, maybe that's
that way.
Yeah, maybe, and maybe that's the hook for it. And can I bring you in as a parent? Do you applaud Stephanie for her decision, or do you feel that maybe she's been given a hard time over it?
No, I think everybody has that choice. Every single person has that choice to drink or not to drink, and it's up to you. And you just go with it. If you're mature enough, you'll probably make that choice. I don't know what's good about hangovers. And my sons used to tell me about after a party, if they were staying in somebody's house, oh, he spent the night puking, I had to look after him, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I know those stories. I know that's what happens.
Mm.
Most parents know that's what happens when their kids are out drinking. So, no, it's a choice. But we have to remember, as adults, we have choices to drink or not to drink.
Yeah.
And it's nobody else's business.
Stephanie, have you seen a change now in maybe the type of non-alcoholic beverages that are on offer? Now, maybe not in pubs at the moment because they're not open, but generally speaking. So, I mean, we've seen a resurgence of gin, kind of every two-bit tin pub has a gin bar, but there's lots of those now that are non-alcoholic. There's great non-alcoholic beers. What's your go-to drink when you're out?
Exactly. No, and that's it. And choice, because choice has increased. So like as Anne said, I began to make that decision. I was like, I don't enjoy drinking, but now there's so much choice, and it's great actually, because I can go into when we could go into a pub or a bar, you can get a non-alcoholic gin, you know, and you can get a non-alcoholic white wine, and you can, and then there's loads of other options. Well, I don't particularly like beer, but there's loads of options now, so it's a lot easier to not drink. But I think, you know, when I was a teenager, there was a huge pressure to drink. Now, my mom didn't drink. There was no alcohol in our house growing up, so we didn't grow up around alcohol. But going into school and activities, people were always talking about drinking or naggins or whatever it was. So there was a pressure to drink. And I think that's why I started to drink. And I just realized that, you know what, if this is not for me, I don't see the point of it. And I've seen people go to the extreme with alcohol, and it's just, it scares me. So when I do go out, I do try and look after people. Like, I do become the sort of mammy of the group, making sure everyone's okay.
There's a pressure there, though, isn't there? You know, I mean, that puts you in a position.
There is a pressure.
Yeah.
To
what extent do you think not having drink around you at home, Stephanie, made a difference? Because, you know, you were saying there was no drink at home. It was only when your peers kind of did. And we've heard from this report and other reports that actually most people are most likely to start drinking if they're teenagers at home. And there's this argument always put forward, like, oh, if it's under my supervision and they can have a glass of wine or they can have one beer and I know what they're up to. You didn't have that facility offered to you. So do you think that was what made your decision easier?
I think that's what made my decision a lot easier. And just kind of going back to my childhood, I never really saw my parents drink or anything like that. So I was just like, well, you know, it's perfectly okay to not have a drink. Now, it's not saying someone can come over to my house and not bring a bottle of wine for themselves. Absolutely, you can do that. But I think because I grew up in that environment, it was a lot easier for me to say, look, we manage. My parents, my mom,
and they were fine, and you had a perfectly nice time.
Completely fine. And even when she goes out with work and stuff and they're like, oh, she doesn't drink, and they'll put her at the other end of the table, and she's like, you know what, it doesn't even know, it's such a, it makes you a social pariah in some situations, especially at work. But like, I have a really healthy lifestyle, and I don't miss anything by not drinking. And I think, you know, people saying, parenting, oh, my kids drink in front of me, so they're not going out and drinking. I can guarantee you that 90%, 99% of them are still drinking in a field.
Okay, well, I hate that idea of a social pariah, but let me bring in Colin O'Gara. He's a consultant psychiatrist and head of addiction services at the St. John of God Hospital. Colin, you're very welcome to Lunchtime Live today. Social pariahs, I mean, alcoholics can become social pariahs at the other end, can't they?
Well, without a doubt, it is a significant problem for Sinead that we see in our treatment services. It's probably the biggest issue with regards to substances, you know. So we would see a whole host of addiction presentations, but alcohol remains the standout problem.
And is there a change in the profile of patient that's presenting themselves, Colin? I have read that more women, maybe in their 40s, are drinking too much more than ever, or is it still young people, or is it much older people who've been drinking all their lives?
Well, you know, it's really across the board, to be honest, Sinead. You know, there's a surge, certainly, particularly with COVID, in, you know, younger people. But similarly, it's across the board, you know. It's put a huge pressure on people, particularly wanting to drink from home. But also with the pubs closed, there's opportunities for people in recovery as well, you know, to keep a recovery going. They haven't had the pressures of having to go to a pub. So there's a lot going on, you know, within the COVID space. But really, pre-COVID, it was a big problem. Alcohol combined with other drugs as well, particularly cocaine in younger people. So overall, you know, I would say alcohol is probably our standout problem in the country with regards to addiction. And all the studies would suggest that if you look at alcohol versus other substances with regards to problems that are caused to people and the people around them, it is alcohol that comes out on top every time.
Colin, is there any evidence for or against young people having their first drink at home, maybe the parents providing it in what they would consider a safe environment, a small bit of drink to kind of get them used to it, or something like that? Or is it actually, are people less likely to become alcoholics if they don't, if they grow up in a household without any drink whatsoever?
The evidence, the evidence that we have would suggest the longer it's delayed, the better, and the less exposure, the better. Now, you can't generalize, of course, because, you know, the idea of delaying it is based on the idea of modeling, and the adolescent brain at a particularly prone time that you don't allow that modeling to occur. But the reality is that, you know, we live in a country where alcohol is widespread. We do have a cultural issue, in my view, with the way we approach alcohol. You know, we've always had, you know, our way of having fun in this country, the crack, etc., it tends to be alcohol, and that's deeply ingrained in our culture. So, you know, the answer to the question is, in an ideal situation, you'll delay it for as long as possible. But, I'm well aware of the pressures that parents are under to restrict that. I'm well aware of the cultural norms within teenagers. I do feel it's getting a little bit better, particularly in, you know, there's a cohort, say 20 years ago when I was treating people, you wouldn't have a cohort of young people that decided not to drink at all. I think that's becoming more common, and younger people are looking at fitness, you know, getting involved in triathlons and stuff like that and making a conscious decision not to drink. And you also see that reflected in sports, and particularly, you know, even standard.
It's just not tolerated. I mean, it's hard to get up for training.
Exactly. You go into a dressing room, say GA, rugby, soccer, whatever. 20 years ago, even at the elite level, it would be, there'd be drink, flying around in the dressing room afterwards. Whereas now, even, a community level, but certainly at elite level, you would not have the players going off and going on a load of beer after a game. They'd probably be looking at their recovery.
Yeah, so, and I'm of an age where I remember when I was, in business, going out to lunch on a Friday with your work colleagues, that meant a lot. The afternoon was shot to pieces. You were going to order the bottles of wine, you were going to have the drinks and whatever. I mean, if I went to a work lunch now, unless it was some big corporate kind of thing for a fundraiser, I mean, you wouldn't dream of sitting in a restaurant and ordering booze in the middle of the day if you had to come back to work. So I suppose there is a cultural thing. Colin, is there anything that the government could be doing to shift that culture? I mean, we've the highest taxes in Europe on drink. We now have barriers in supermarkets. We make it really hard. You have to have ID. It doesn't seem to be working.
Yeah, I mean, there's the legislation side of things, which you have the Public Health, the Alcohol Act and minimum unit pricing and the like, and the full enactment of legislation. But on the other side, I would say education and, pumping a bit of money into treatment services, because there's a lot of people who are at the, lower end of harm that are on the cusp of getting into trouble. They might not even be sure that they have a problem. But if there was more education put on that side of things and treatment services directed at the less severe end, a lot of our own treatment service and many other treatment services are very focused on, the severe liver disease and brain damage, and people are very severely affected. But if we had a range of treatment services that looked after the mild to moderate alcohol use disorder, as we call it, that would be very, very helpful.
Okay, let me bring back Stephanie in just for a final word. Stephanie, do you think education could play a big part in this? I mean, we have a texter in saying, I have an 18-year-old daughter, she hasn't had a drink yet, and I find it's extended family that put her under the most pressure, wanting to put a glass of wine in front of her at family gatherings.
Yeah, I think people think it's like a rite of passage, but it doesn't have to be. I think that if I wasn't feeling pressured by in school and by people that I went to school with having drinks and talking about going into the fields and having drink or being allowed to drink at home, and I think if I wasn't under that pressure, I never would have touched drink, and that's the complete honest truth. So it does come down to education. And like the doctor said, you know, it's one of the biggest problems in our culture nowadays. So I just think that whether hiding it, maybe not hiding it, but keeping it away from your children and then having a discussion and talking about it in school and getting recovering addicts and you maybe people talking about it and being more open about it, that it's not, oh, it's not a big fun thing. Yeah, you can have it in moderation, but really think about it before you go down this rabbit hole, I think.
All right. Well, Stephanie, Anna before her, and Colin O'Gara, consultant psychiatrist and head of addiction services at the St. John of God Hospital. Thanks so much for joining us on that conversation today. Very, very interesting take on an old story here in Ireland. And I wonder whether COVID actually will have made a big difference one way or the other on that. Send us your view, 53106 1890, 453106, if you'd like to get in touch.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.